الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. In Surah Yusuf, chapter 53 of the Quran Kareem, the incident is so important, so pertinent, and one very important lesson we learn from our ulama. The parable of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is like that of Ramadan. Like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his 11 brothers makes them 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them due to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. If we spend our Ramadan correctly, Allah will forgive our entire year because of Ramadan. And Ramadan is to recharge us for the entire year. And like Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was most special from his brothers, in the same manner, from all the months of Allah, Ramadan is most valuable, most special. فَإِنَّهُ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ أَن تُفْرِطُوا فِيهِ. The words of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, this is Allah's month, do not violate in this month. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's story. Now remember, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. He's one of his 12 sons. And remember, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is the grandson of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah gave Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam glad tidings of Ishaq and Yaqub alayhi salam together. That's why when the Christians claim, due to the verse in their Bible, that Dhabih, the one sacrificed for Allah, the one that was to be sacrificed for Allah, is Isaac, Ishaq alayhi salam, definitely it is that they had changed these verses in their Bible, because the Bible says that Ismail was the first son of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. But now there's another verse in the Bible that says, oh, you did not withhold from me your only son, your first son. And there they add on Isaac. When the Bible clearly says that Ismail alayhi salam was the first son of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was 86 when Ismail alayhi salam was born. He was 99 or 100 when Ishaq alayhi salam was born. So the Israelites and the Jews tried to steal this honor as well from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's forefather, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referred to as the son of the both Dhabihain. Dhabihain, Aini means duel, of both great people who were to be sacrificed for Allah. One was Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and when Allah's Nabi was addressed like this, he smiled. And what was he referring to? Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and the other was his father Abdullah. And that's also a very interesting incident in history, how his father was to be sacrificed and Allah then saved his father. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam comes from a very noble lineage. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam asked his sahaba, subhanallah, he taught us, give due where due should be given. He asked sahaba, who's the noblest of man? They said, O Nabi of Allah, you tell us, Allah and His Rasul know best. Allah's Nabi said, Al-Kareem, Ibnul Kareem, Ibnul Kareem, Ibnul Kareem. The one who is Kareem, the son of the Kareem, and the grandson of the Kareem, and the great-grandson of the Kareem. Meaning such a lineage. Kareem means nobility, the highest form of generosity, integrity, nobility. Kareem is so generous. Allah's quality is Al-Kareem. Obviously, in a manner that is unlimited. Allah's qualities are unlimited. And when Allah gives this quality to His creation, obviously, Allah gives them from His treasures, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one is sakha, generosity. The other is jood. A person will give more, keep less. But Kareem is one who can give everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to, when he said, such a lineage of Kareem, Kurama, Yusuf alayhi salam, the son of Yaqub alayhi salam, who is the son of Ishaq alayhi salam, who is the son of Ibrahim alayhi salawatu wa salam. Interesting is right in the beginning of the chapter, where Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam narrates the dream to his father, and his father advises him not to divulge this to others, otherwise they'll be jealous. And then the entire story of how his brothers took him on the picnic, and how then they dumped him into the well, and how Allah rescued him. And from the bottom of the well to the palace of the minister, and Allah then made him the minister of finance, the man who had the most authority in the entire Egypt. And how Allah then reunited him with his brothers. And then Allah reunited him with his parents, and how kharru lahu sujjada, they bowed down before him out of respect. something very interesting. This was the previous Sharia. Now sometimes certain aspects were permissible in previous Sharia's, that in the previous Sharia, when they went into prostration or a bowing posture, and it wasn't with the intention of worship, it was permissible with the intention of respect. In the Sharia of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is the final Sharia, and there's no Sharia to abrogate this Sharia, to abrogate this ruling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave anything in the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that could lead to some sort of ambiguity. That even in the salah of janazah, even in the janazah salah, because someone could go past and think maybe they prostrating to the deceased, there's no ruku and there's no sajda. While we're mentioning janazah, remember, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When janazah salah takes place, it is a salah, but I don't think you've heard adhan or iqama for such a salah. So is there adhan? Is there iqama? Yes. But the adhan and iqama for every one of us has taken place already. When was it, my brother? When did it take place, my sister, my mother? It took place when we were born. The adhan in the one ear, the iqama in the other ear. That was the adhan and the iqama for our janazah salah. And like how quickly after the iqama does the imam start the prayer? After a few minutes, just make sure that everyone is straight in their sufuf, and then he starts his prayer in the same manner. Death is unpredictable. We can leave this world any day. Allah give us tawfiq to prepare to meet him. So Allah reunited Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam with his brothers and then with his parents with such glory and honor Allah gave him. And that was his dream coming true, where he saw the stars, the 11 stars and the sun and the moon all prostrating to him. Then, respected listeners, Surah Yusuf culminates in a very phenomenal way. You see, we learn this dua asking Allah for the company of the pious. Yusuf alayhi salam makes, Tawaffani Musliman, Allah take me as a Muslim and keep me and join me with the pious. So what we learn is how the Nabi of Allah teaches us to have concern to die as a Muslim. Imagine you and I. We mentioned this yesterday and we learned this in the Anbiya alayhi salam repeatedly, the worry to leave with Iman. And they were guaranteed such a beautiful departure. But this was the worry. This is to teach us a lesson. This chapter culminates with verses 108 with an amazing lesson. Allah says to his beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after narrating to us the entire narrative of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says, O my Nabi, qul, keh dijiye, tell them, O my Nabi. Allah is instructing Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is something pertinent. When Allah orders his beloved to tell humanity, hadihi sabili, ye mera rasta hai, this is my way, this is my road. Sabil means path, sabil means road. Sabil comes from the word which is sabal. Sabal means water. Sabil means path and road. In Arabic rhetoric, balagha, this is called isti'ara. And it's some sort of an equation, a similitude. Here, because the origin is water and the final meaning is path, there's an indication here that this path that Allah's Nabi is told to speak of is like water. What is meant by that? Like water gives life. This path and this work of Rasulullah, this objective of Rasulullah, this road of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is like water in giving life. And the lack of water means death. The lack of this path means destruction. So that's the similitude here. Now, sabil is a word that can be used masculine and feminine. But here Allah says to his beloved, say, hadihi, which is feminine. Some who has some understanding of Arabic will appreciate this. Hada means for masculine. This hadihi is for feminine. Now, this road, this path that Rasulullah is instructed to speak of is attributed to something feminine, meaning like, what is the lesson here? Like when one deals with the woman folk, with one's wife, one has to be very diplomatic, very kind, very compassionate, merciful, understanding, forgiving, soft, polite. In the same way, in this path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it necessitates compassion, mercy, understanding, love, tolerance, patience. Hadihi sabili. That's why not hada sabili. But Allah doesn't leave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave this path ambiguous to us. Allah instructs His beloved, clarify to them what this path is. Ad'u ilallah, medaihu, medawadetahu. This is mudari', which is continuous, a continuity. I all the time, I on every occasion invite to Allah. I am an inviter to Allah. Allah's Nabi is told to teach us, not I invited. And this is the lesson here, that we must be da'i, not that we invited. Or we will invite, ad'u, mudari', present. I all the time invite to Allah, ala basira, with wisdom and insight. Ana, yemmerakame, my work, wa manittaba'ani, and everyone who claims to follow me. You're clearly, respected brother, respected sister, respected father, respected mother, respected prime minister, respected street sweeper, respected entrepreneur, respected doctor, respected lawyer, respected engineer, respected scientist, respected scholar. Whatever our faculty may be, whatever our field may be, every follower of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in this verse. By Allah, by him being from the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, da'wat, inviting to Allah, is his and her work. Allah give us tawfiq. This verse is very, very clear. I want you to look up this verse. And also from the incidents highlighted in Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam's life is how in the prison, how he invited to Allah ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq. The next chapter is Ar-Ra'd. Interesting is so many verses in Ar-Ra'd. Chapter 13, in para 13, and in verse 13, Allah Ta'ala highlights how the Ra'd makes the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verses also speak of joining ties. Allah make us of those who join ties. The culmination of this chapter, Allah speaks of in verses 41 in Ar-Ra'd. Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِ الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. Don't they see how we take the earth and diminish it from its sides? What is meant by the earth diminishing? So maybe, can it mean the earth shrink? Allah knows best. But one of the meanings here of the earth becoming smaller from the sides is Allah will take lands and give it to Muslims. Like it happened in the seerah, the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Sahaba took Islam 1400 years ago and then 1300 years ago and then 1200 years ago to countries of the world. The other meaning here is when non-Muslims will come to Islam, even though we live with non-Muslims peacefully under a treaty, but that home where Islam entered, that becomes a sort of Allah's name be taken there. Allah's order be upheld there. That's the other meaning here. The other meaning of the earth being diminished and constrained is when ulama and the pious will pass away, that is the earth becoming tightened, where well-wishers on this earth will be diminished, people who are sincere and loyal and good people. Anyway, that's some of the meanings. The next chapter in the Quran Kareem, 52. In the sequence, chapter 14, in the sequence of Revelation 72, this is Surah Ibrahim. Now, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran Kareem repeatedly, 69 times. But so many lessons Allah Ta'ala brings about in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And in this chapter, there's so many parables. See verses 22, how Shaitan will say to the believer on the Day of Judgment, that don't blame me, I only enticed you, I did not force you to do anything. You cannot blame me. I can't help you. Yeah, you can't help me. Yeah, I only enticed you. You responded. So don't blame me. Blame yourself. This is what Shaitan will say to a person. Shaitan works day and night for a person to forsake his deen, forsake the orders of Allah, to such an extent that even when a person is going to die and on his deathbed and on her deathbed, Shaitan takes extra shifts to make sure this person forsakes the iman before they leave this world. Allah Ta'ala save us. That's why we need to seek Allah's protection all the time from Shaitan and from any harm. When we enter our home, say Bismillah. Before we partake of our meal, say Bismillah. Allah's Nabi said, Shaitan waits for every opportunity like a hawk to seize and attack a person as soon as he is negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verses 24, Allah gives a parable. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Don't you see how Allah gives the parable of a wonderful tree, like a wonderful word? Its roots are firm and its branches are far reaching into the sky. It bears fruit all the time with the permission of its Lord. Allah gives these parables. The beloved of Allah asked Sahaba, what tree is this that is like the mu'min? Sahaba was silent. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar was the narrator. He mentions to his father later, "Dad, I knew the answer." So his father says, "Why didn't you respond? Father, such senior people there, where could I say?" Allah's Nabi then said, this is the date palm tree. I ask you to draw this lesson, learn this lesson. We're eating kajur. It is sunnah to break fast with kajur. Tumur, tamar, rutab. It is sunnah to also eat kajur in the time of Sari. Let's learn this lesson. The hadith states, honor the date palm tree, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So there's so many hadith concerning the kajur. And there's a parable in the Quran Kareem where the wrap around the date pit, Allah says, all mankind don't even own that. But how is the believer like the date palm tree? The believer is like the date palm tree because iman is sweet, like the kajur is sweet. And iman, and also something else very interesting, the believer has character. You throw pebbles onto the date palm tree, it gives you back dates. It doesn't give back anything else, it gives back dates. So in the same way, when a believer is ill-treated by somebody with vulgarity and disrespect, he retaliates with sweet words, kindness, unity, and respect. Something else interesting about the date palm tree, unlike other trees, trees normally inhale carbon dioxide, contrary to the human being that inhales oxygen. But the date palm tree inhales oxygen like the human being. And something else, another tree, you chop off the top, it'll still grow. The date palm tree has something really nutritional at the top called the jummar. And it's like the head or the heart of the tree. And when you extract it, it doesn't grow anymore. SubhanAllah, there's one incident where Hazrat Usama bin Zayd was removing the jummar from his tree. So someone said, why don't you wait for the fruit to ripen and then you take the jummar? He says, no, my mother wants the jummar. I'm going to give it to her now. She wants it now. I'm going to give it to her now. He wasn't thinking, no, I must bring it to her when the fruit ripen, this, that. Because otherwise, once you remove the jummar, the tree doesn't grow anymore. It dies. And that jummar is very nutritional and beneficial. But look at him. He was prepared to lose the entire tree. But because his mother wanted the jummar now, Allah give us tawfiq to also win the du'as of our parents and the elderly and the pious. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِينَ